The Bible says in Psalm 133:1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So welcome, members and guests, to First Christian Church on this 28th day of January, and thank you for coming to worship in this place. Please turn off your digital devices and let us prepare our hearts and our minds for worship as we listen to Kathy's prelude. Pieces over, there's another really pretty interlude in there. Thank you, Kathy. Very nice. We have three announcements from folks today. Mike, is Mike here? Mike. Sarah.
Hello. Okay, so today after church, I will be having a spaghetti fundraiser for the International Affairs Seminar trip that I'm going to be going on in late March. And so I thought I was just going to tell you guys a little bit more about International Affairs and what it is. So what the trip is we'll be spending a week in New York City and Washington, D.C., and we'll be like partnering with local churches and local outreach programs to kind of get another foot in the communities outside of our own. And we'll be going touring the United Nations, sorry. And we'll be meeting with our elected officials. So I'll be meeting with John Barrasso, Mike Enzi, and Liz Cheney. And one thing that I'm really looking forward to is the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. So I just wanted to say that. And so this whole idea of this trip is to kind of help the youth in our region for the Disciples of Christ get a better and global kind of perspective of the world. So I'm really looking forward to that. And so if you hear a few bangs downstairs, don't be alarmed. It's just us getting ready to feed y'all some good spaghetti. And don't worry if you can't make a donation. It's fine. We have lots of spaghetti, so you can come down and just eat your heart out. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sarah. Kevin, you have an announcement?
Hello. Not all of you know me because I usually attend the chapel service in the morning at 8, but I'm Kevin Anderson, and you may have seen in the call, I've proposed a new occasional Bible study, and I wanted to just tell you as briefly as I can how this came about. I've always tried to study the Bible, but I end up with lots of questions, and I've finally in the last few months decided that I'm going to actively pursue answers to those questions rather than just reading about the Bible and sort of waiting for some insight every once in a while. And part of this also grew out of a question that came up in our community group, which was about the Trinity. People don't understand the Trinity, and actually all of the experts say it's pretty hard to understand too. And some people believe there is a Trinity and some do not, for example. So I decided that I would research that for the community group, and then the thought occurred to me, since I've taken this new approach, that I would try to occasionally offer to do research. I'm retired, and I want to do the research anyway. So if anybody has questions about the Bible, I'm willing to explore answers. And when I have enough information together, I would try to meet with the person who asked the original question or the two or three people, let them decide when it's best for them to meet to discuss briefly in plain language what those possibilities are, followed by sort of an open-ended discussion. People can come and go if they want to stay for an hour or 2 hours, as long as the facility is open wherever we meet. I'm willing to just keep going till midnight if you want, that kind of thing. But also, then, if somebody can't make it to that one, I'm always willing to visit with them individually or call another meeting. It doesn't matter. I just would like to be engaged with others in an exploration of the Bible and in discussion. It would be Christ-centered and Bible-based, but plain language. God said he wants all people to be saved, and he's not going to make it a mystery. He's not going to say you have to learn about ontology and all this kind of stuff to figure this stuff out. So I'm going to try to be sure the good commentators point out what you already can find in the Bible and ways to look at it. And in fact, the Bible that I have has footnotes that will sometimes say, here are four ways of looking at that passage. That's the kind of thing I'm proposing. I'm not going to tell anybody what to believe. It's just intended to be an occasional free-form discussion looking at potential answers. And while I'm on that subject, it's posted on the bulletin board outside, but the freedom of belief for what disciples believe says, as disciples, we are called together around two essentials of faith, a belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that Christians are free to follow their conscience guided by the Bible, the Holy Spirit, study, and prayer, and are expected to extend that freedom to others. So I'm not telling anybody what to believe. I just want to have a discussion on some of the possibilities because I want to learn from all of you. This is a selfish thing on my part too, because at the community group, every once in a while there will just be that one sentence that somebody mentions and I have to think about it for 3 days because I had never thought of that point of view before. So it's about looking at things and getting at some possible answers, not declaring answers or anything. I'm thinking that I won't begin until after Easter. I have a lot of questions, and if you look at the bulletin board outside, I have posted my questions because no question is not allowed. I have weird questions too, so I'm willing to have any question. But remember to look underneath the pages. Only three are visible, but look at the pages behind, and you'll find I have almost 2 pages of my questions. Are there. You're free to write down or call me or however you get word to me what the questions are. And when it comes time for a meeting, this is not a thing where it's a membership and it's not going to be at a regular time. People can just tally, we're going to have 5 people show up. I don't even need to know people's names. I just want to know how many so we know where we can meet, make sure it's a big enough facility, that kind of thing. But we'll figure that out when we get to the first one. I'm thinking the first 3 topics somewhere along the line after Easter would be the Trinity question that came up in the community group. And then why does the Lord's Prayer say, "Lead us not into temptation," when the Bible states clearly that God never leads us into temptation? That's a question that we want to explore. I don't know how we'll get an answer on that one yet. And then once I read an essay called "Saved? From What? That was a really good essay on pointing out the difference between being saved from the thing that caused the problem versus trying to save yourself from the results of the problem. So I thought I'd use that as a beginning point on one. So I think that's basically it. And so anyway, just when the time comes, feel free to ask questions and I'll pursue answers. And oh, and even if I only have one person, I'll consider it a success, because I just need to find other people who have an interest in discussing these things. So thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. If you'll please make sure you sign the friendship sheet and pass it down the row and then pass it back and say hi to someone you know or you don't know. I will let you read the rest of the announcements that are in your bulletin, but Kathy did want to point out that today is the last day to do any updating of your information for the directory. So please do that. We will stand and greet each other and then sing our opening hymn, "There's Within My Heart a Melody," on page 550. Sir. Just. Would you please join me in the call to worship? Jesus called disciples by the lake shore. They left families and jobs to follow him. Jesus calls us to leave our comfortable ways and venture forward with him.
Lord, when we live in fear, we remain bound to old habits. Make us free.
Open our hearts and make us wholly devoted to you.
It is the call of my heart to follow you.
Please pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for the song you've planted in us, a melody which rings out no matter what our circumstances may be. Some of us need your strength. Some of us need your leading. Some of us your word of caution concerning roads we are determined to travel. We may need your encouragement as we walk the path you have opened for us. When we sing our praise, Lord, in the same breath, we are asking you to move amid our problems, our confusion, our mistakes, as well as the good we do, and make your praise a part of our daily life. Help us to rejoice and be glad as we pray the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Be seated. Our hymn of praise and prayer today is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. If you would turn to page 195 in your hymnal, we'll sing the first and last verses. I'd like to invite the Rislov boys to come forward, and if we have any other children in worship today, they're invited as well. We'll just have a moment's conversation before worship and wonder today. So all of our children are invited down front. Good morning. We have more kids here than I could see. You all were sitting towards the back, and you were sitting behind tall people, so I didn't know you were here. I'm glad you're here today. Hi, Colin. Last Sunday, we had a lot of snow. Did you all play in the snow? Yeah, there was about a foot of snow. And so we didn't have very many people in worship last week. If you were here last Sunday, would you raise your hand? There were some folks who made it. Now, you weren't here last Sunday, and you weren't here last Sunday. So I want to share with you guys what we talked about last week. Last week, the sermon was about Jesus' baptism. Jesus was baptized, and we get to be baptized. When we grow old enough that we're of an age that we can read scripture, and we ask questions about faith, and we decide that we want to give our lives to Jesus and we want to follow him, then we're baptized. And I thought it might be nice for you all to get to see the baptistry. Have you ever seen where we do baptisms before? Well, let's go look. Let's stand up. And we're going to walk back that way. Straight back behind the table. Here in between the choir. Over here, we're going to come this way. We're going to look at it from the front. Keep walking. Keep walking. There you go. It's kind of like a big bathtub, and I will help everybody get lifted up so you have a chance to see it. Are you ready? You're going to jump. Woo! You get to be tall. Can you see? You want to jump up? You ready? Watch out, Max. We're going to go over you. Here we go. Whee! So you can see. You went up, Colin? Okay, ready? Can you guys see? You guys are tall enough. Max can't really? Okay, scoot over here. We're going to make room for one more. It's like a giant bathtub. We fill it up with water on Easter, and we walk down the steps. Do you all see the stairs on the side? We walk down the steps, and then I ask a very important question. I ask people if they believe in Jesus. If they believe that Jesus is God's son and they want him to be their Lord and Savior. And if they say yes, then they go all the way under the water and come back up. And their sins are washed away and they give their heart to God. In a few years, you all will be old enough to think about that decision. And I hope you're here on Easter so you can watch other people be baptized. Let's jump down. Do you need help? You got it? What? There's leaves in it. Yeah, we'll clean it out before we fill it up with water. You're very observant. Ready? Jump. Ooh. So we'll have a prayer together before you all head out to worship and wonder. Let me catch you down the center aisle. And we'll have a prayer. Let's join hands. I know you thought the field trip was over, but it's okay. Let's hold hands, and we're going to have a prayer together. Thanks for coming back. We're not used to taking field trips during children's time. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of baptism. We thank you for every believer here and around the world who has been baptized in your name. Lord, thank you for forgiving our sins, for washing us clean on the inside as well as the out. Lord, bless us to know you, to love you, to serve you. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Now you can go to worship and wonder in Sunday school. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns of the congregation. And as we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today, and then place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card shower this morning is for Kathy Malloy. This is the third Sunday that Kathy will be at the hospital. She's been at Wyoming Medical Center for over 2 full weeks now. She continues to struggle up and down with her health. Her kidney numbers are not where they need to be. And the family will be making a decision tomorrow with doctor's advice as to whether or not to start dialysis. Please pray for wisdom and peace for Kathy as she makes that decision. Prayers also for Ann Clockseam, who went into the hospital this week and has a blood clot in her leg. They've put in a small mesh strainer to keep that from spreading through her system as it breaks up with medication. Last night, she was on oxygen at about a level 9. This morning, they've reduced it to a level 5. So she is doing better. She said today the doctor plans on getting her up and having her walk. So please pray for healing for Anne. Prayers of comfort for the family of Dottie Gray. Dottie passed away late Tuesday night after a fall in her home and a visit to the ICU. Prayers for her 4 children and for all of her friends who will miss Dottie. She served as church secretary here at First Christian for 17 years, hired by Truce Llewellyn, serving through Dr. Norman's tenure, and then also working with Dr. Badger. She was a very faithful member of our congregation. Her memorial service will be this afternoon at 3 o'clock here in the sanctuary. We continue to pray for Darlene McIrvin as she awaits further news of biopsies and cancer reports. Prayers for Joan McNamara, who is home from the hospital but still having difficulty breathing. And prayers of rejoicing for Dave Baker. He only has 2 chemo treatments left, which is definitely good news. We continue to pray for him. The missionary we're lifting up in prayer today is Gloria Vicente Cnu, who serves in Guatemala. And we pray for all of those who've been affected by school shootings, including a tragedy at a high school in Kentucky this week. Our regional prayer partners are the members of Heart of the Rockies Christian Church in Fort Collins and their pastor, Melissa St. Clair. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary if you'd like to sign and send greetings. Debbie Mestis asked me to offer this thank you to the congregation. It's a note that we received from Dorothy Stratford, who lives in Montana. To each of you, an article in the Billings Gazette recently telling of your church's sandwich ministry spoke to me and prompted my note and gift. Bless each of you for what you are doing. The needs are great in Billings also, yet it serves as a brutal reminder daily to love our neighbor. Once again, blessings, Dorothy. P.S., I met my future husband at Casper Junior College in 1964. Dorothy feels a connection with Casper because of that life history, and she was so moved by the article talking about the sandwich ministry that she sent us a gift to support that work. So we are grateful for partners like Dorothy. Are there other prayer concerns today that we need to name or joys we want to share this morning? Madison.
I've been going through a lot of health issues recently, especially with my liver, and I'll be getting a colonoscopy and an upper GI in a few weeks, and I just hope that they can figure out what's going on.
Prayers for Madison as she has a colonoscopy and upper GI exam. Prayers for answers that they can help address her health. Becky. Prayers for Becky's dad, who has the flu. As we are all aware, this is a severe illness this year. The version of flu going around is quite dangerous, especially for those who are older. So prayers of healing for your father. Keith. Prayers of healing for John Webb, who has pneumonia right now. Lonnie. Prayers for Kim and 6 nursing students and another instructor headed to Malawi. Prayers for safe travel and blessings on the work that they do. Paul.
Prayers for
prayers for the Smith family as they look for a good nursing home in Arizona. There are certainly some options. Prayers for a wise decision as Dad looks for a new place where he can live and be healthy and receive good care. Ed Strube. Prayers for Ed's daughter who had emergency surgery yesterday. Debbie. We pray for the homeless in our community, especially when it is so cold in this winter. We give thanks for all those who worked at the point in time count, and we're thankful for the partnership of FedExpress employees who help provide sandwiches for the sandwich ministry. It is a blessing to see Maria back in worship after we have been praying for her health following a fall. We are so thankful that she is well enough to be here this morning, and we continue to pray for others who either because of the weather or their health are not able to be in worship. It is a blessing for us to have new faces in our midst today, to have friends with us who've not been here for a while and have returned. May God bless each of you in worship this morning. Let us take all of these concerns to the Lord in a time of prayer as we share in silence. Holy Jesus, our Lord and Savior, through baptismal waters, we become one with you. We become one with each other in service, in answering your call. You call us, O Christ, to lives of prayer. And so each week in worship, we take time to pray for those we know and those we have never met who need your healing presence, your grace, your forgiveness in their lives. Oh God, we pray for each one that we have named today. We pray for Gloria and the work she does as a missionary in Guatemala. We pray for Melissa and the members of Heart of the Rockies Christian Church and Fort Collins. Lord, we pray for people we may never meet, whose lives are torn apart by tragedy, such as a small town in Kentucky this week where another school shooting happened. God, we pray for those who need physical healing, for those fighting the flu, for those living with long-term illnesses. Lord, be with Ed's daughter as she recovers from surgery. Be with Kathy and Ann while they're at Wyoming Medical Center. Bless with healing Joan, Darlene, Madison, Becky's father, John Webb. Oh Lord, we know that your healing comes in many ways. And for Dorothy Gray, healing came at the age of 96 when you called her home to heaven, where she will know no pain or suffering. We pray for the healing comfort of your peace, to be with her children, Paul and Tim and Chris and Susan, with her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, with her friends as we gather this afternoon to celebrate Dottie's life. Lord, we pray for peace for all who mourn. We pray, O God, for those whose lives are harder than we can imagine. We pray for people in our own community who sleep on the streets or in cars or on a borrowed couch. And we pray for people in Malawi who will be blessed by the presence and service of nursing students. We pray for Kim as she leads this group, for safe travels, and for deep joy as they share their skills with those who are in such great need. Lord, we thank you for all who share the skills and gifts that they have. From a new friend in Montana moved by a newspaper article to make a gift, to employees of FedEx making PB&J sandwiches to help the sandwich ministry, to each member here who answers your call in specific ways to proclaim and live out the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. O Lord, may we continue to answer your call to be instruments of healing and peace in the world and to follow you faithfully all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray and we live. Amen.
Just to come join him there. We know we are not worthy, but still he will forgive, for he died that all of us might live. Come break the bread, come take the cup. With your blood and body, Jesus, feed us, keep us in your tender care. Jesus, with your kindness we are filled, you have loved us, and you still love us. Now receive the promise of God's great love. All are welcome to share the Lord's Supper. We'll be sharing communion by intinction. Please come forward by the center aisle, beginning with the front pew, take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup, and then return to your seat by the outside aisle. Those remaining in your seats will be offered communion in their pews. When you come forward, would you please leave your offerings and place it in the trays at the front here, and we will prepare our hearts for communion by singing, "Come Thou Font of Every Blessing," found in your hymnal on page 16.
Thank you.
As we come to the table, we remember that night long ago when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his friends and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Eternal God, from whom all blessings come, we give thanks for the invitation to come to your table once again and to partake of the bread and the wine, symbolic of Christ's body and blood at his sacrificial death, his death for us on the cross. For this great love, we are deeply moved and eternally grateful. May our lives increasingly reflect Christ's compassion for others in all we do and say. And thank you again for welcoming us to this your table. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
faith. We live by faith. We give by faith. God of great gifts, you have given us so much. Accept these gifts from our hands, our faithful response to your abundant grace. Amen.
Tells me to Our first scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. It's on page 34 in your pew Bible. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited upon him.
Our reading from Mark continues. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, choir, as you were warming up, Amber had asked that we specifically pray for you. If you're not a singer, you may have no clue how difficult it is to do an a cappella piece. Well, either you didn't need our prayers or they were answered. Thank you for that beautiful anthem reminding us to listen for the Spirit and sing when the Spirit says sing and pray and preach when the Spirit tells us to. Will you pray with me now? Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit still calls to us. Give us courage to believe, to turn from those parts of our lives that would lead us away from you, to repent and believe and answer your call. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you were one of the 30 or so folks who braved last weekend's snow and you were here in worship, you heard the story of John baptizing Jesus. And when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And God's voice spoke from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Mark's story continues. Immediately, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit was busy and active at work in the life of Christ. The Holy Spirit proclaimed to those who could hear that Jesus was God's Son. And then, as soon as he came up out of the baptismal waters, that Spirit whisked Jesus away. In Mark's telling, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Has there ever been a time in your life when you feel God is driving you to do something? Sometimes God's voice comes in a gentle, whispering way, and it's easy for us to ignore. But every once in a while, there are life events that force you to take a path, and perhaps it's only after the fact when you look back and you realize God's Spirit was in the driver's seat at that point. God was determining where you were headed next. Now, after John the Baptizer was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee. John had been in the wilderness preaching, "Repent, have your sins washed away, be baptized, repent and believe." That message continued. John was just a forebearer of the message of Christ, the gospel, the good news that God's kingdom was coming on earth. Jesus went to Galilee to proclaim that same message, the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." That simple refrain, "Repent and believe the gospel," is whispered every Ash Wednesday when a priest or pastor forms the sign of a cross made of ashes on a repentant person's forehead. Traditionally, at an Ash Wednesday service that marks the beginning of the season of Lent, you will hear one of two refrains. Either, "Remember, from dust you have come, and to dust you will return," or, "Repent and believe the gospel." Those simple refrains come to us directly from Scripture, calling us to confront our own humanity, the frailty of our existence on earth, knowing that our days are numbered, whether our years will be like Dorothy Gray's, stretching to 96, or be far less than that. We cannot determine the span of our own lives, but we can determine how we will live. God gives us free choice. We can choose to remain in sin and be separated from God, or we can turn our lives around. At its heart, the Greek word translated into English for repent means to turn around, to change the course of your life, to change your direction. Often when we hear the story of Jesus calling the disciples, we focus just on these few verses from Mark that Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee. He saw some fishermen and said to them, "Come with me, I'll teach you to fish with people." But the context of that call is given in the verses ahead. When Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God and calls all who will hear to repent and believe, it's when we turn away from our own sin, when we repent from our own shortcomings, when we acknowledge our need for God. It is when we believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that then we are ready to answer his call. Jesus came first to Simon and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." This simple verse, perhaps more than any other, is often quoted when we speak of evangelism, of the call of God's people to invite others into relationship with the Lord. I remember a few years ago when our interim regional minister, Dean, was here. Dean Phelps preached on this text, and he spoke of how the fishermen cast out a net. He used the metaphor of talking about different kinds of fishing, that if you're a rod and reel fisherman, a casting fisherman, most often you're looking for a particular kind of fish. You know what kind of fish is in the river. You know what kind of bait they want. Maybe you even stop off at the Ugly Bug Fly Shop in downtown Casper and ask folks who know, "What's biting right now? What fly do I need to tie before I go to the North Platte River?" In Dean's sermon, he talked about how net fishermen haul in anything and everything that goes into the net. His sermon explored that metaphor that we can, when we are evangelizing for Christ, decide we want to reach just one certain kind of person, maybe one age group, one demographic, and we plan some bait to attract folks. We plan a specific event for a specific group of people. But he said the gospel call is really to spread the net wide, to invite anyone who will answer the call of Jesus to come into the body of Christ. As I was reading the text this week, I found myself thinking again of Dean's message. I think that to answer the call of Christ is both to be an evangelist, someone who specifically tells the story of faith, and also to be a disciple, a follower, someone who lives the story of faith. Thinking back on the last year of life we've shared together as members of First Christian Church here in Casper, our evangelism happened mainly through the things that we do, the acts of service that we share. Not just the sandwich ministry or the blanket ministry, but other events when we were present in the life of the community. The blanket blitz in December, when over 100 blankets were made in one day. The Night of Bethlehem event, when young parents and children came to the church to see, to feel, to experience, even to taste what it might have been like to be in Bethlehem the night when Jesus was born. The ways in which this church answered God's call to serve Christ in 2017 are actually beyond naming. We have a quilters group, actually more than one, that sew together beautiful blankets and give them away generously. We have women and a few men who cook food to feed those who are hungry, serving a mission meal or a potluck dinner. To feed the hungry is to answer the call of Jesus. We have members of the church who joined together to paint Fellowship Hall last year. It wasn't a glamorous task. Phil was there that day, I remember. You know, we were all kind of sweaty and paint splattered, but we got it done. Chris Rislov helped a lot. That project was completed because more than one person gave time and energy. New landscaping was planted in front of the church. That sounds a little bit self-serving, perhaps. We want our home to look good. But really, it's God's home. And if this church building, if these grounds are attractive, we're more likely to have visitors come and hear the gospel of Christ. Jesus called fishermen to fish for people. Jesus calls landscapers to plant plants and grow food. Jesus calls seamstresses and sewers to make blankets and quilts. Jesus calls physicians and nurses and healthcare workers to bring healing to those who are sick. Jesus calls friendly people to talk with strangers and strike up a conversation that brightens their day. It may include a specific invitation to come to worship or a church event, or it may just be an opportunity for someone to move from being gloomy and alone to knowing another human being sees them. God's Spirit calls musicians to sing, to play instruments, to lift up a joyful noise, that those who hear may find their spirits lifted. The Spirit of God calls parents and grandparents to raise their children in loving homes, to be responsible, to grow in wisdom and stature, as we read that Jesus grew under the tutelage of Mary and Joseph. Yesterday, our congregation celebrated the presentation of the Eagle Scout Award to Nathan Holly, a young man that this church has helped to raise, who's done a lot of work through our Boy Scout Troop 13 and has been guided by his parents and grandparents along the way to reach that milestone in life. God's Spirit calls teachers to teach and coaches to coach. God's Spirit calls those who are good with finances to help others learn to spend their money wisely and well. Soon, our congregation will again offer the Financial Peace course, a class that teaches single adults and couples how to manage their money. No matter what your income level is, it is possible to reach the point where you live without debt. You live within your means. And you find you have the opportunity to be more generous than you'd ever known you could be before. Jesus calls each and every one of us to walk with him day by day. Jesus called the disciples to walk with him closely for the time in which he was here on earth. But Jesus still calls through the Holy Spirit to followers around the world and people in our very pews. How did you hear God's call in 2017? How did you answer that call? What did you do in your life that God used as a blessing for someone else? We're in a new year, in 2018. What is God calling you to do this year? How is God calling you to serve in the world, to be a witness, to bear the good news forward, that others might know the kingdom of heaven is beginning to break forth in our midst, and the joy of sharing together around the Lord's table, and the privilege of deepening relationships that are healthy and strong. Each one of us is called in some way to hear Jesus's voice, to repent. And when we repent, to believe. And because we believe, to answer the call to follow Christ. Mark's gospel moves quickly from one story to the next. God's Spirit moves among us sometimes so quickly we almost miss it. Are you listening? Will you hear Christ's call? Will you believe and answer? Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is the beloved old hymn, Rock of Ages. You'll find it in your hymnal on page 214. If there's anyone here this morning who's looking for a church home, we invite you to officially join First Christian Church, to come forward and place your membership here, either by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. If you are moved to follow Christ, please do so. Let us stand and sing together. Would you please be seated? This morning, one of our own is coming home. It seems like it wasn't that long ago that Teresa and I stood in the baptistry when she gave her life again to the Lord. After having membership here at First Christian, Teresa moved to Nebraska to be close to family, and now she's come back to Casper. It's taken a little while to get moved in and settled, but we are glad that she is home. And so Teresa comes forward today to transfer her membership from North Platte Christian Church in Nebraska here to First Christian Casper. So Teresa, I extend to you again the right hand of Christian fellowship and ask you to reaffirm your faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you proclaim him as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Praise the Lord for that. Teresa will be with me at the back door. If you haven't had a chance to meet her, you're welcome to greet her on your way out from worship this morning. We do hope that everyone will stay for the spaghetti luncheon. I think Sarah was basing her cooking on our average attendance, and with the snow and ice in January, our numbers are a little down. So you all come. If you can, pay for one plate of spaghetti and eat three or four. She would be thrilled just to have your presence there. While we're gathered in Fellowship Hall downstairs, there's also coffee and donuts. If you don't have time for spaghetti, please just visit with someone else today. Greet the Lord this morning. And while we're having lunch, a few of our commission chairs will have a chance just to talk about the ministry of First Christian Church and the ways in which God has called them to serve, ways in which you might want to serve in 2018. If all hearts and minds are clear, would you please stand for the benediction? Let us pray. O God of grace and glory, we thank you for our call, our answering your call. Lord, bless us to hear your voice. Give us courage to respond and to follow you, Lord Jesus, every day of this year. Make us to be fishers for people. Make us to be evangelists who proclaim your good news. Make us to be people who serve humbly with thankful hearts. Amen.